Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Memtes. We're on Memches Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, finishing up our discussion from yesterday regarding Evakanani. Evakanani, in terms of what happens once you purchase an Evakanani vis-a-vis his status as being a quasi-Jew, how to be tovelim in the mikvah when necessary, not always, but when necessary, and regarding his general observance of mitzvahs. Okay, it's a difficult sugya, admittedly. But the basic idea, however, which the Gemara is very clear about, is that once you own an Evakanani, so he has to be a Shomer Mitzvos. He has to be a Shomer Shabbos, he has to have a Mila, a number of basics regarding the mitzvahs that he has to observe. Is he Jewish? The answer, of course, is no. He's not Jewish. He can't marry a Jewish woman. In fact, that would be a lav in the Torah for him to marry a Jewish woman. Nevertheless, he is bound by the mitzvahs of the Torah. The exemptions in terms of which mitzvahs he's not going to be bound by is basically that of a woman. Mitzvahs esei shazman grama, time-bound mitzvahs, are not going to be within his obligation. Short of that, outside of that, he's going to be obligating all the other mitzvahs. And again, the basic distinction between him and a Jewish woman would be that, of course, of a bris milah. He's required in a bris milah. So yesterday, Mem Chesem and Beis, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara. What if he doesn't want a bris milah? So he can be. Can you be mekayim? An Evi Kanani who does not want a bris milah. Machlokis Tanaim, Machlokis Pichun, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is of the position that Ein Mekayimim, that one is not allowed to keep an Evi Kanani who does not want a bris milah. And then what we learned in yesterday's daf are, even according to the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, there are going to be two, in fact, we learned three different exclusions, three times where you can own an Evi Kanani and he's not going to have a bris milah. So, and the three are, number one, you brought him an Erev Shabbos, and you just simply didn't have enough time to give him a meal before Shabbos, but that exclusion, of course, only is going to apply through Shabbos, that's it. A second exclusion would be, is that you're being Megalgal, meaning when you purchased him, so he agreed that he's going to get a bris milah, and then he got cold feet. So how long are you allowed to entertain his cold feet? For a year. Up to a year, you can entertain the idea that he's just, you know, he's pushing it off. Oh, yeah, I made a doctor's appointment. Sure. No problem whatsoever. But then up after the year is up and he's still resistant and refusing to get a bris milah, so then you have to sell him back. And finally, the third exclusion is where you made it tonight. If you made a condition where you purchased him with the condition that he's not going to get a bris milah, that's acceptable. As I pointed out yesterday, I struggle with that third one just in terms of understanding, meaning if the Torah demands that he has a bris milah, although not perfectly clear where in the Torah it says that he needs a bris milah. Meaning we do know, and this could be the source, we do know that you can't eat Karban Pesach if your Evakanani is not malt. That's the pasuk in the Torah. But how can you make a condition going against the Torah? Let's just assume the Torah wants them to have a bris milah. So how can you make a condition going against that? Okay, I raised the question yesterday. No satisfactory answers. Nothing changed between yesterday and today. I'm a day older, but on this particular issue, not a day wiser. Yosef Rabbi Chanina, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday, on Mem Ches Amud Beis, about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud, 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Papa, Rabbi Ami, V'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akila de Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, V'Yasu V'Kamre, Ir Achas Haisa. Should I go up a little bit more? Yeah, right. Okay, Shalach Rabin and Mishmed Rabbi Eli. Yeah, okay. Even better. We are going to go back even up further. We're going to go to the first wide line on the Amud. Okay. So. No, I did good. Yosef, let's start again. Okay. Yosef, Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akila, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, V'Yosef, V'Kamri, Irachas, Haisab, Eretz Yisrael, V'lo Rasu, Avadel, Lemol. So there was a city in Eretz Yisrael, and for whatever reason, in that city, the Avadim were just being a little bit stubborn, refusing to get a Mila. V'Gilgul, Imahem, Hashem, Asar Chodesh. And, again, literally rolled with them for a year. Meaning, basically, they let it roll for a year. So, V'Chazru, Machum, Lovdi, Kochavim. And then, after the year is up, and that's it. In other words, enough with the delay tactics, they sold them back. So, come on, Kiai Tana de Tanya, the Gemara says, it is in corroboration with the following Braisa. Halo kecha v'min ha'ovei kochem v'lo rasalam o'megal gulim o'ashem asar chodesh. Lo ma'achozer marchlo avde kochavim. Good. So the author of this brisa, the Tanakhama, this brisa says exactly that. Sell him back after a year if he's still refusing to get a bris milah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Ein Mashen Osa Reit Yisrael Mimnei Hefzat Ha'aros. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says no. In other words, no allowance for delay because there will be a Hefzat Ha'aros. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so not even a year. Uve'ir Hasmucha L'Sfar. Now let's say it's a border city. In other words, it's a city right on the border of Eretz Yisrael. So these cities are in number areas of halacha more sensitive because you are literally you're on the border. And so neighboring you are going to be, let's call them enemies. They don't have to be enemies, but potential enemies. So ein mashino so-called ikar. So if you have an Eved Kenani who's showing a little bit of resistance, reluctance, a little disobedience, that's not good. Because since you live on the border and since the enemies are right on the other side of town, so therefore, once he's showing a little bit of disobedience, so then we have to be concerned about the fact that any sensitive information that you may have, so this Eved Kenani will take that sensitive information and run it right over the border. Okay, so if you're living on the border town and he's showing any kind of resistance whatsoever, at that point in time, cut bait. Okay, just fishing reference. So you get rid of him as quickly as possible. Tanya, Rabbi Chananya ben Osher, Rabbi Gamla Omer, Mibnei Magirim bezman hazeh mu'unav yisurin bayin aleihem. Okay, so now as we're finishing the Gerus Sugya, okay, this Gerus Sugya has been a long Sugya. We have started Gerus going back 3 dapim ago, even a little bit more. We talked about Gerus regarding an Eved Kenani. Quite frankly, we talked about Gerus in general. The Gemara's in Daf Mem Zayin treated us to the basic procedure of how to be Megayer, anyone who wants to come into the fold and become a member of the Jewish people. The Bryce over here now is a wrap-up. It's a little bit of machshava. It's just things to think about. And these Gemaras over here, these short Gemaras, lines of Gemara, finishing up the whole Gerus Sugya, are going to be a little bit difficult. Let's start again. Rabbi Chananya ben Osho, Rabbi Gamliel Omer Mimnei Magirim Bezman Hazeh, Mu'unin V'Yisurin Ba'an Aleihem. So why is it that Gerim nowadays, so they're suffering, and a lot of hardships that fall upon them. Mimnei Shalokim U'Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So the reason why is because they weren't observing the 7 Noachide laws. That's difficult to understand. They converted. They're obligated in 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Rashi explains over here, it means while they were not, before the conversion. So before the conversion, Rashi writes, Ba'odan of the kochavim, Varasha lo I paraminayu. De paranios genuza lehem lasilavo. Ava kishimizgari nefrai mehem kide lamari chavasan. So Rashi explains, so here's how Schar V'Onish works when it comes to a guy. So when it comes to a guy and they weren't observant to the 7 Noachide laws, so what happens? So what happens is nothing. In other words, there is no Schar V'Onesh in this world. I'm going to be so clear about this, or at least I'm going to try to be. There is no Schar V'Onesh in this world for a guy and his 7 Noachide laws. And Akash Baruch Hu just simply waits. In other words, and once they finish with their lives, and now they go up to Shemayim. So now they're going to have to pay for everything they did. But in other words, but there is no Onesh in Olam Hazeh for Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach. However, once they convert, now they become a Jew. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a Jew, so Onish comes in this world. And it's a Tova. The reason why Onish comes in this world is so that for Olam Haba, so much of the Onish now is taken off the books. Once now he converts, so for all those Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach that he was violating while he was a guy, so now there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Ma'anishim in this world, and again, as a Tova, so it's taken off the books for Olam Haba. Okay, that is one viewpoint. Rabbi Yossi, Amer Gershon is Gar Kakan Hanola Dami. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, no, we know the principle of Gershon is Gar Kakan Hanola Dami, but now this is an interesting application of this rule in that once he becomes a Jew, so that's it. In other words, that expunges, that clears the slate of anything that happened historically. So the reason why he's suffering has nothing to do with his historical sins because they're not accounted for. So it just happens to be that they're not that careful about the mitzvos, meaning that it's true they came on board and it's true they made a major step in their life and a major change in their life, but generally speaking, and I understand this is a sweeping generalization, but generally speaking, they are not fully compliant with all the mitzvos. This is consistent with what we saw yesterday. The Gemara said yesterday that Gerim is to the Jewish people kasapachas. And if you saw Tosfos over there, I didn't go through the Tosfos inside, but if you see Tosfos over there, he gives different versions of this basic point of the Gemara right over here, which is that they're not particularly careful. Abba Shaul, continuing in the Brisa, Abba Chanan, Omer Mishum Rebbe Lazal, Fishain Osin, Me'ava, Elamiyira. You know why they converted? They didn't convert out of Ava, they converted out of Yira, and that's a lower level. Okay, again, various explanations amongst the Tanayim. Why does that the Gerim suffer so much? Acherim Omer, this is now our fourth explanation. What took them so long? In other words, they only decided now to come and convert. They waited so long in their lives. Okay, now it's a difficult line of the Gemara to process and understand. What took them so long? Meaning you could put the positive spin on it. Meaning they made the jump. So admittedly it's challenging to understand this particular criticism of a ger, that it just took them too long, and the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Abba, v'itam Rabbi Chanan, in Maikra." I have a pasuk that describes this, that iterates this idea that that if you decide that you want to become a ger, so you got to do it right away. Where do I see that from? So again, when we talk to the object lesson in Tanakh in terms of gerus, so obviously we always turn back to Rus, and here the Gemara goes back to Rus. So Maikra Yishalem Hashem Paalech. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Rus. Now, in the Pasuk in Rus, it's not perfectly clear, it's not crystal clear, but clearly in the context of the Gemara. This is how the Gemara understands that Pasuk. Once she decides to be Megayer, she did so immediately. Right? Rashi says, Asher Bat, Shemi Harta, Veloi Harta. Right? You came on board really quick, meaning once you made the decision, he came on board real quick. Okay, at what point was she in her life? Really interesting. Tosos over here on the bottom, talking about when exactly did she convert? How old was she when she converted? Okay, so we don't have clarity on that point. Tosos on the bottom discusses it. See Tosos for a discussion. Various midrashim in terms of her age. I'm not really qualified to speak in terms of the various opinions amongst the midrashim. But if you just want a number, just to think about it, but it's not the only opinion. She was 40 years of age. But that's one Midrashic viewpoint, and not everyone is in agreement with that. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of the Mamzer Sugya. So as we are now here approaching the end of the fourth parak of the Masechta, so we have one more Sugya to go before we finish the parak, one more Mishnah, and this is really basic. What we are going to be discussing now for here until the rest of today's daf is a Mamzer. The Mishnah, we saw the Mishnah in Chagiga not so long ago. The Mishnah in Chagiga says that once you produce a mamzer, so mu'uvas asher lo yuchal litkon. Okay, so it's a mistake, obviously, and it's a mistake that's undoable. You can't change the mistake. So you could do tshuva, obviously, but nevertheless, once a mamzer is produced, that's it. A mamzer is going to have restrictions in terms of who he or she can marry, and the status of mamzer goes on ad infinitum. In other words, the next generation is going to be a mamzer v'chule v'chule. Okay? Obviously, it's a tragedy. In other words, it's the mamzer himself or herself did nothing to achieve that status. It is the result of a mistake that was made between the father and the mother. Okay? Understood. Totally understood. But nevertheless, the child will have the status of being a mamzer.
Through the female descendants also?
Yep. The Gemara in Kiddushin. Gemara in Kiddushin, fourth parak. So, Ezehu Mamzer. So, what produces a Mamzer? In the Torah itself, we know there is such a thing as a Mamzer, but in the Torah itself, it is not abundantly clear what yields a Mamzer. What is producing a Mamzer? In our Gemara, there is going to be no less than three opinions in the Mishnah, and even in one of the opinions in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, there are going to be three variations of what Rabbi Akiva said. Okay, so admittedly, it's going to get a little bit murky over here in terms of what produces a mamzer. When all said and done, the halacha is very clear. The halacha is going to accept one of those opinions, which we're going to identify in the course of today's daf, but just in terms of the breadth of opinion, so there's going to be a pretty wide variance in terms of what exactly produces a mamzer. Let's go. So Ezu Mamzer. So what is going to produce a Mamzer? So number one, in the Mishnah, there are going to be three opinions. Number one, Kol She'er Basar Shuhu below Yavo, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Shitas Rabbi Akiva, which is going to be the most stringent, is that any time the union between the father and the mother is prohibited by a lav. But in the Mishnah's version, it has to be a lav prohibition. In other words, it doesn't have to be karis and it doesn't have to be misus beisdin. It only has to be a lav, but a lav disha'er. It has to be a relative lav. Okay. And it doesn't translate well in English because I'm hearing myself and that certainly sounds confusing. A relative lav. Let me try to say it this way. It's a lav which is also a relationship. So let's say, for example, okay, the Torah says that if a man is with a woman, so the son is not allowed to be with that woman. But in other words, the man would not marry the woman. That's called Eshesav. That's one of the Arayos. That's an Issachares. It's more than Issachares. That's Mises Bezdin. But we're not talking about Eshesav. We're talking about the Anusas Aviv, right? Your father was with a woman out of wedlock. So that woman now to the son is prohibited. But it's not Arayos. It's a lav. That's an example of lav disha'er. It's a lav created through a relationship. So if the child is produced from such a union, and certainly if the Isser is greater, in other words, if it's an Issachares, or if it's Mises Bezdin, that is going to produce a Mamzer. That's Jesus Rabbi Akiva. Shimon HaTamani Omer, Kosha Chayav and Alav Karis B'Yidei Shamayim, V'Halacha Kedvarav. Shimon HaTamani says, you know what produces a Mamzer? When the union, father and mother, prohibited to one another through an Isser Karis. Basically, not basically, all the arayos in the Torah, this week's Parsha, okay, timely as it is, this week's Parsha Nachrimo, so we are going to be introduced to all of the arayos. All the arayos are going to produce a mamzer. Notable exception, we'll get to the notable exception later this morning. And the Mishnah adds a funny phrase. The Mishnah says, V'alacha kedvarav. And oh, by the way, says the Mishnah, that's the halacha. I'm going to challenge myself and everyone here. How many times do we see in the Mishnah where the Mishnah tells us straight out, this is the halacha? Meaning, generally speaking, the Mishnah is there and provides us positions and opinions. And yes, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when providing this information via Mishnayos, usually gives us tips and tells in terms of who the halacha follows like. But where else do we find in the Mishnah where the Mishnah is telegraphing, oh, by the way, this is it. This is the accepted halachic viewpoint. I don't know. In other words, my point is, if this is not the only time, it's really rare. And finally, the third opinion of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Kosher Chayav and Alav Mises Beis Din. Rabbi Yeshua says, the only thing that's going to produce a mamzer is where the union of father and mother is prohibited through capital punishment. That doesn't cover all the arayos. Made this comment already a number of times in our Masechta. So arayos are a grouping of relatives and other women, married woman, right, the Anida. So a grouping of a number of women where if a man has relations with that woman, b'mezid, so you're subject to the karis penalty. For some of them, not all of them, but for some of them, it's Mises Beis Din, meaning that if there are witnesses in warning, so then it's subject to a capital punishment. So which ones are subject to Mises Beis Din? So the Torah is pretty clear. The Gemara in Sanhedrin outlines exactly which ones are Mises Beis Din, Chamoso's Mises Beis Din, Kalasso's Mises Beis Din, sister is not Mises Beis Din. Okay, and if I can try to articulate rhyme and reason, some of them are Mises Beis Din, some of them are just Kares. I don't have a good explanation why that is, but it is. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, meaning Kares by itself is not going to produce a mamzer. It has to be a Kares that also is subject to Mises Beis Din. Then and only then is the resulting child going to be a mamzer. So Kol Shechayev and Alav Mises Beis Din Amar Rabbi Shema Ben Azai Matzasi Megillas Yochsen Yerushalayim. So I found Megillas Yochsen. So Megillas Yochsen is a scroll. In other words, Torah Shabbat Peh for up to the time of the Mishnayos was Torah Shabbat Peh. But occasionally there were notes that were written down. So and it's described usually as a Megillah, right? We normally associate Megillah with the Megillas, Esther, Ruth, so forth and so on. But Megillah, and as the Mishnah is making reference to it, is Torah Shabbat Peh, which was basically documented. It was written up as notes. So I found Megillas Yochsen, meaning a part of Torah Shebaal Peh that deals with Yichus. And the Kasaba, and it says the following, Ish Ploni Mamzer Meshes Ish, that if I have a child that comes as a result of adultery, now adultery is one of the Isurei Kares, it's one of the Arayos in this week's Parsha. Additional to that, it's Mises Beis Din. It's a capital crime. So the resulting child is going to be a Mamzer. So this Megillas Yuchsin is telling us who does the halacha follow like? L'kayim divrei Rabbi Yoshua. Now, as Rashi points out over here, L'kayim divrei Rabbi Yoshua, that was not in the Megillah. In other words, the Megillah is just simply telling us that this union is going to produce a mamzer. This Megillah is going like Rabbi Yoshua, right? Certainly mixed messages in the Mishnah, meaning previously the Mishnah told us a halacha is like Shimon HaTemani. And then the Mishnah tells us that according to Ben Azai, I found Megillas Yuchsin that documents and tells us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yoshua. And I'm telling you the halacha is not like Rabbi Yoshua. So why is the Mishnah giving us this information? I'm not sure. And then finally, the last section of the Mishnah over here, information that we all know already. Ishto shemesa mutar b'achosa. Rachmanis, one's wife dies, allowed to marry his sister. Girsha umesa mutar b'achosa. Let's say he divorces her and then she dies, allowed to marry her sister. Nasas lachar umesa mutar b'achosa. Let's say she marries another man and she dies. Meaning you were married to her, you divorced her, she married another man, she dies, you're allowed to marry your sister. In other words, it doesn't matter what other circumstances there are, so one is allowed to marry one's wife's sister after the wife died. Yevimto shemesa mutar b'achosa. If let's say your Yevama died, so you're allowed to marry your sister. Ashi was achos the kukaso, that's true. But achos isho is mutar when the wife dies. Certainly, achos the kukaso after the yevama dies is certainly going to be mutar. Chalitza umesa mutar b'achosa. You do chalitza with her; she is now chalutzaso, and she dies. You're allowed to marry your sister. Nasas la'acher umesa mutar b'achosa. And let's say after chalitza she goes and marries somebody else, which she's totally entitled to do, and then she dies. You're allowed to marry your sister. I think we all get the point, and that is that once a woman dies, you're allowed to marry your sister. So the Mishnah is telling us to this in. Right, am I counting correctly? 6 different ways that you're allowed to marry your sister after the death of this woman? Okay, so the Mishnah is giving us all this information. Why? And why over here? Okay. Great questions. Anyway, let's start off the Gemara. The Gemara's discussion over here now is going to tell us that how many viewpoints do we have in our Mishnah? 3. We have in our Mishnah Rabbi Akiva, Shimon HaTemani, and Rabbi Yoshua in terms of what produces a mamzer. In the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara now is going to give us 3 variations of Rabbi Akiva. Number one, so we're calling this 1A. That's why I have it marked in my Gemara. So, my time with Rabbi Akiva, dichsiv lo yikach ish es eshes aviv, v'lo yigal kanaf aviv. So we already went over this earlier in the Masechta, but this is it. This is the Gemara, this is the source. That according to Rabbi Akiva, what produces a mamzer? So you're going to have to read carefully into the Chumash. Because where does Mamzer is found? Parshas Kisetze, in the 23rd parak of Devarim. And there, what you're going to have to do is read the, right, the Torah just simply says, Lo Yavam Mamzer Bekal Hashem. It doesn't tell us what produces a Mamzer. So what we're going to do is that we're going to go and use a process called Smuchin. We're going to look at the proximate Psukim right next to that Pasuk, and that is going to be informative in terms of what produces a Mamzer. So next to it, and now Tosus points out, by the way, and this is it's not a minor point, but the Gemara doesn't address it, is that the pasuk that we're about to read, Lo Yigala Kanaf Aviv, is not directly proximate to the pasuk of Mamzerus. So it's a little bit of a stretch. Over here, I mean it almost literally. It's a little bit of a stretch how the Gemara is darshaning Smuchin when it's not directly the next pasuk adjoining, regardless. So lo yavo lo yikach es eshes aviv lo yigala kanaf aviv. I'll just simply say immediately before the pasuk of mamzer, the Torah says that a man is not allowed to marry. Now it says eshes aviv. That's clear. That's your father's wife, and lo yigala kanaf aviv, and you're not allowed to reveal the corner of your father. What is that a reference to? Hopefully you remember machlokas satanaim. What is that a reference to? So, kanaf shara aviv lo yigalem. V'savala karev Yehuda, damra banus az aviv v'kasa medaber. Dahavile chai v'lavin. So, right now we're going to say that Rabbi Akiva subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda teach us? The truth of the matter is we're going to learn this later in the Masechta. But we already touched on this earlier in the Masechta, and that is that according to Rav Yehuda, Kanaf Aviv is a reference to Anusas Aviv. And the Torah is telling us that if your father was with a woman out of wedlock, so that woman to you now is a lav. It's not a rayas, it's not an Issachares, it's a lav, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, now that I have the pasuk of Lo Yigala Kanaf Aviv, proximate to Mamzerus, so this arrives us at the conclusion that according to Rabbi Kiva, what produces a Mamzer? A lav. What kind of lav? A lav that's created through relationships. It's your father's Anusa. So Dehavilechai Velavin. Okay, so that is so far one version of Rabbi Kiva. Two more versions to go. I knew this was going to be tricky. Ula Rabbi Simai Demar Be'Sha'ar Chai Ve'Lavin De'Lav De'She'er. Okay, that's a tricky read. So, and according to Rabbi Simai, now Rabbi Simai has a version of Rabbi Kiva. His version of Rabbi Kiva is that any time the union between father and mother is prohibited through a lav, even if that lav is not a relationship lav. I'll give you examples. I'm using Rashi to help me give you examples. So for example, machzik grushas mishinises, married to a woman, you divorce a woman, she marries another man. That marriage terminates. You take her back. So that is a lav in the Torah. You're not allowed to take her back. So, and taking her back is a lav, but it's not a lav created through relationship. And when I say relationship over here, I mean family relationship, but it's created by virtue of the fact that she married another man in the interim. So now taking her back would represent a lav in the Torah. So according to this version of Rabbi Kiva, the resulting child, if there's a resulting child, is a mamzer. That's one example. I'll give you another example. Ammoni, somebody who converts from the nation of Ammon. You're not allowed to marry such a woman. Okay. Although what I said is inaccurate because it only applies to the men, not to the women. Okay, so I'll do it again. I'll do it correctly. So let's say a male Ammonite converts and now marries a Jewish woman. That's a lav in the Torah. It's not created through relationship. In other words, it's just simply a lav. In this version of Rabbi Kiva, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. So that is a second version of Rabbi Kiva. And there's a third version of Rabbi Kiva. Ula Rabbi Yeshevav Demar Be'afilu Chai V'Yasei. So now Rabbi Yeshevav says that what produces a mamzer according to Rabbi Kiva? Any prohibited union, even if the prohibition's an asay. How do you get to a prohibition that's an asay? That's a little bit strange. But Rashi over here gives us a classic example. An Egyptian. And again, when I say Ammonite, when I say Egyptian, I'm not talking about nowadays. The Egyptians nowadays are not the Egyptians that the Torah is making reference to. Right? The Gemara says that there's been so much cross-pollinization between all the nations, so an Egyptian nowadays is not the nation of Egypt. It is, in other words, from a Torah standpoint. Okay? It is a cross-pollinized, cross-contaminated, if you will, version of all the nations of the world who are mevava one with the other. But anyway, from the Torah standpoint, so somebody converts from Mitzrayim. So are you allowed to marry that person? No. Now, let's say a Mitzri ger marries a Mitzris ger, and they have children. Are you allowed to marry the next generation? Once again, the answer is no. Once they have now grandchildren, and the grandchildren converts marry one another, those you're allowed to marry. The grandchildren you're allowed to marry. It's a pasuk in the Torah, right? Dor shlishi, the third generation of Egyptians you're allowed to marry. So since the Torah says that the third generation you're allowed to marry, so what does that tell us by inference? That you're not allowed to marry generations 1 and 2. The Torah never says the words, don't marry generation 1 and 2. The Torah just simply says, you may marry the third generation. So what is this called? This is called a lav haba mechlal asay. A negative prohibition arrived through an inference of the positive instruction. And generally speaking, we say, lav haba mechlal asay. What category does that fall under? It falls under the category of an asay. Meaning if a person were to marry a first or second generation Egyptian, he'd be violating a positive commandment, meaning the inference that's generated from the positive instruction of only waiting to the third generation. It falls under the category of asay. According to this version of Rabbi Kiva, if one were to violate this isser, again, it's an isser asay, so then the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. That means basically, in this third version of Rabbi Kiva, if the Torah does not like the union whatsoever, so then the child is going to be a mamzer. The Gemara in Ksuvos, reacts to this third viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Right? Rashi here quotes it. Boa v'nitzoach, it's right alongside where we are in the Gemara, in Rashi. Boa v'nitzoach al Akiva ben Yosef shaya omer kol shein lo bia b'Yisrael avlad mamzer. All right, let's go scream and cry out against this viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva, because basically there will be a proliferation of mamzerim. Okay, so the Gemara over here wants to know, in the second and third version of Rabbi Akiva, how do I know that? Meaning, what's the source of that? The first version of Rabbi Akiva, so it's very well sourced. It's based on Smichus Parshios of Mamzer, that's right alongside Lo Yigala Kanaf Aviv. But once you are in this second and third viewpoint or version of Rabbi Akiva, where it includes other Lavin, and even according to Rabbi Yeshevav, and Asay, where is that coming from? The Gemara goes on to explain. Nafkalahu mi v'lo. When the Torah says v'lo yigala kanaf aviv, that's a ribui. Now, what is that ribui? Now, it could be that it's just simply an extra word. It could be an extra vav. The Gemara is not really clear about it. Rashi doesn't make a comment over here. It could be that the word lo is understood as no, meaning anytime the Torah says the word no, or even if it implies no, so then that's going to produce a mamzer. Okay, exactly how the drasha works over here, the Gemara is not very clear, but anyway, there is sourcing for the variant viewpoints of Rabbi Simai and Rabbi Yeshevav. Shimon atemani savala karabban and darmi b'shemar ziavon shalavi v'kasam adabi davile chayvi krisus v'samach lelo yivam mamzer ama mechayvi krisus havi mamzer. Now let's explain Shimon atemani. Shimon HaTemani said that any time the union is prohibited by Kares, then and only then is the child going to be a mamzer. How did he arrive at that? Because Rabbi Shimon HaTemani subscribes to the Chachamim. What do the Chachamim say? When the Torah says, Lo Yigala Kanaf Aviv, it's talking about your father Shomer Yavam. Your father Shomer Yavam. What does that mean? It means that basically it's your uncle's wife. Now your uncle's wife, regardless of whether your uncle's alive or no longer alive, your uncle's wife is prohibited to you through what's called an erva. That's an arayos. It's one of the arayos. One is not allowed to marry his uncle's wife. So now, if the Torah says, lo yigala kanaf aviv, and it's a reference to your uncle's wife, so what is that telling us? It's arayos. And then, and only then, is the resulting child going to be a mamzer using the smichus apsukim. Rabbi Yoshua, now, we have one more opinion that we need to explain, and that's the Shita Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, lichta v'chmana lo yigale. Lo yikach lamali. If all the Torah was trying to do was make this one singular point that we just learned together, so the Torah should have stopped at lo yigale. But meanwhile, the Torah didn't do that. In that pasuk in Kiseitze, the Torah says lo yigale, and the Torah says lo yikach. Why would the Torah also say lo yikach eshes aviv? Which again, is already known information. Meaning that's already articulated back in the Parsha of Arayos, this week's Parsha. So Ela Lav Hachi Kamar Mi Lo Yikach Ad Lo Yigale Have Mamzer Tfeilo Have Mamzer. So what the Torah is doing is the Torah is giving us a range. Only for Lo Yikach Eishes Aviv, only for that Avera is the resulting product going to be a union. But anytime you get lower than that Avera, lower from a punishment standpoint, meaning if it's no longer Mises Beis Din, but now it's just Kares, so then the resulting child is not going to be a Mamzer. Okay, so first half of today's daf. So what we went through are the three shitas in the Mishnah in terms of what produces a mamzer in the order of presentation: Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Akiva is the most expansive in terms of what produces a mamzer. Rabbi Shimon HaTemani is the middle ground, and Rabbi Yehoshua has the smallest population of what is going to produce a mamzer. And then we went through the Gemara in which we sourced what is the source of these opinions. It's based on the Smichas Parashios, but then it gets complicated because we do have the Torah telling us about Mamzer in Parashios Kiseitze. It is next to the Pasuk of Lo Yikach Eseshes Aviv Lo Yigale Kanaf Aviv, but it's not clear in terms of what Lo Yigale Kanaf Aviv is actually making reference to. Based on what you subscribe to what Lo Yigale Kanaf Aviv is making reference to, that will inform in terms of what's going to produce a mamzer. Okay. And then, just as all that is not enough information, within the Shita Rabbi Akiva, you have three versions in total in terms of what Rabbi Akiva holds. It's either going to be our Mishnah's version, it's a lav of She'er, or it's going to be Rabbi Yeshevav. It's going to be a lav even if it's not of She'er. And then you have Rabbi Simai, which is anytime the Torah prohibits a union, even if it's coming about through an essay. That's Amud Aleph of today's daf. We start the Amud Beis. Amar Abaye. Last line of Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Hakomodim Bevala Nida. Ve'al Hasot Hashena Vlad Mamzer. So there are going to be exceptions. No, exception number one, Nida. Nida is interesting. In the beginning of our Masechta, so we made this point. I'm not sure how clear I was about this point, but just a short 49 days ago. That's all. So a short 49 days ago, so in the beginning of the Masechta, so where does Nida stand in terms of an in terms of the Arayus? It's in the Parsha of Arayus. A man has relations with a woman who's a Nida, so he's violating one of the Arayus of the Torah. It's an Erva. Okay. As a result of that, consequently, so if he does so b'mezi, he's subject to the Kari's penalty. Okay. And a man has relations with a Nida and produces a child. The child's a mamzer? No. Unequivocally, no. Everyone agrees that the child is not going to be a mamzer. Ah, but you see, let's supplement this information. So a woman's a Nida, even after she menstruates, if she didn't go to the mikvah. Right. So in other words, as long as she doesn't go to the mikvah, her Nida status is still there. And having relations with her would result in an Issur Karis, if done b'mezid. Okay. And so, and by the way, this Gemara over here, obviously, is going to be saving many, many people from being a mamzer. Meaning for anyone who is not careful about Taras HaMishpacha, I say not careful, meaning ignoring Taras HaMishpacha, the resulting child is not going to be a mamzer. It's based on this Gemara over here. And not only that, but also another exception would be a sota. A woman committed adultery. So again, as we've gone over this point numerous times, we're not talking about where she secluded herself with a man and he warned her not to, and she did anyway. That too is a sota, but that's a sota suffik. But right now we're talking about a sota vaday, meaning we know she committed adultery. Why shouldn't she put to death? Because it takes a lot to put somebody to death. Witnesses, warning. Okay, in other words, but we know she committed adultery. So now she is prohibited to her husband. Yet that itself does not terminate the marriage. If let's say now they produce a child, the child is not a mamzer. It's another exception to the rule. So there are two exceptions to the rule. Now the exception of Nida. Hold on one second. Great question. I will clarify. I'm Rabbi Hakomod Mevala Nida of Alasota Shein of Lan Mamzer. Nida da tafsi ba kedushin shenem avati nida sa ala avafilu b'shas nida sa tafsi ba kedushin. So as far as Nida is concerned, the reason why it's an exception is because tfisus kedushin. Because if you are being mekadish in Nida, that kedushin is going to take hold. Normally, what do we say? That when it comes to arayos, there's no tfisus kedushin, right? Try to be mekadish your sister. It simply has no legal effectiveness whatsoever. And yet, when you're mekadish a nida, there will be tfisus kedushin. Why? Because there's a kasuv. The Torah says so. Vatihi nidas alav, and that tihi is the same word as havaya, which means that there's tfisus kedushin. Same thing is true with a sota. Now, I say same thing is true with a sota, I don't really mean same thing. I'll read the Gemara first. Sota, namida, tafsi ba kedushin. So the Gemara just simply says there's tfisus kedushin by sota. Now, what exactly does that mean? So Rashi explains. Now, this is Rashi's explanation, and I know this is fraught with difficulty, but I'm just going to give you Rashi's explanation. It means the following, right? Rachmanis, the man's woman cheated on him. She had a relation with another man, right? It's not subject to suspicion or... In other words, we know that she had relations with another man. Okay. She now is prohibited to her husband. Is that going to terminate the marriage? No. It's not going to terminate the marriage. In other words, he has to divorce her. He has to give her a get. But without the get, short of the get, they're married. So Rashi says, so what do you see over here? That there's no hafka'as kedushin. Her act of adultery does not undo the marriage. So that's, Rashi says, that's basically the Gemara's point. Since it doesn't undo the marriage, therefore it's analogous to there's tfisus kedushin by sota. Now, of course, you're not going to be toface kedushin because you're already married. The Gemara is making the point that since the kedushin doesn't dissolve, so it's analogous to there being tfisus kedushin. That's the way Rashi presents it. Now, just a clarification. Alan made this point. For purpose of clarification, when we say the child is not a mamzer, it means that when the husband and the woman who committed adultery, when they resume in having relations and having a child, so that child is not going to be a mamzer. Obviously, if the paramour and her have a child, That's eishes ish. That's adultery. The resulting child, according to everybody, is going to be a mamzer. Go down the list of opinions. It doesn't matter who you subscribe to. That's Mises Beis Din. That's a capital crime. The resulting child for sure is going to be a mamzer. Tanya Namihachi. The Gemara quotes a brisa supporting what we just learned together. Notable exceptions of what's not going to be a mamzer is a man and a woman where the woman's a nida, man and woman where the woman was a sota, or in this case, husband and wife. So Tanya Namihachi, Akomodim Bevala Nida, Vala Sota, Val Shomers, Yavam Shein of La Mamzer. Now, in the brisa, it corroborates a bayah. Actually, it adds one, right? In the brisa, what's added? Shomers Yavam. Meaning, if a woman's a Shomers Yavam, her husband died, she has brother-in-law, she's now waiting to do Yibum. Again, as we've said since the beginning of the Masechta, she's quasi-married. And now the Torah says that she's not allowed to marry another man, and she has a child with another man during her Shomers Yavam period. So then the resulting child is not going to be a mamzer. Curious, the Gemara wants to know. Now, no, Abai was giving us all the exceptions. How come he didn't say the third exception of Shomers Yavam? How come he didn't cite the Bryce's third example? V'Abaye, Shomers Yavam, Misafke Le, Ikarav, Ikashmol. Because what Abai is not sure about is that when it comes to Shomers Yavam, do we fall like Rav or do we fall like Shmuel? Who's Rav and who's Shmuel? Meaning, where are their opinions regarding Shomers Yavam? So Rashi points out, later in the Masechta. So later in the Masechta, we're going to have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not there's Tfisa's Kedushin by Shomers Yavam. Rav says there's no Tfisa's Kedushin, Shmuel says there is, and Abai is uncertain in terms of which position we follow, and therefore he didn't want to dip his toe into that machlokes. So therefore he said things which are unequivocal and unanimous. Everyone agrees that the resulting child of Anida is not a mamzer. Everyone agrees that the resulting child of Asota is not a mamzer. Okay. I'm Reb Shimon Menazai. Okay, and let's finish up today's daf. Reb Shimon Menazai, I'm Reb Shimon Menazai v'chulei, Tani Shimon Menazai, Omer Matzasa Migalos Yuchsim V'Yushalayim V'Kasav Ba, Ish Ploni Mamzer, Meshes Ish V'Kasav Ba, Mishas Reb Elaz Ben Yaakov Kavanaki V'Kasav Ba, Menasha Haragis Yishayahu. So here in Megillah Yuchsin, so three pieces of information. Okay, connected at face value, at first glance, no connection between them. I'm sure for a deeper dive, I'm sure you're going to be able to make some sort of connective tissue between the three points. But the three points are, number one, what we learned in our Mishnah, that in this Megillas Yochsen, a child is a mamzer because he came from an adulterous affair. Meaning, whoever is the author of this particular Megillah subscribes to Rabbi Yoshua. Number two, the Mishnah's Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov Kavanaki. When you see a statement made by Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov, Kavanaki, it's really sifted through. Meaning, he doesn't say a lot throughout Shas, but whatever he says is absolutely accepted. Kavanaki. Already the Rishonim say that how many statements of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov are there in total? 102. And the word Kav, Begamatria, is 102. Okay. So Rishonim already made this point. And number three is that Menashe killed Yishayahu. Okay. We'll cover that one. We'll cover that one momentarily. Now, I'm a Rava Maiden Daini Vekatle. When I say momentarily, I mean now. So after Gemara quotes this Brisa, so Rava gives us a little bit more information regarding Menashe killing Yishayahu. So Menashe, one of the Malchi Yehuda. Menashe was the son of Chizkiyahu, father of Yoshiyahu. And the Gemara goes on to describe. Midan Daini Vekatle. So Menashe says, I have the charges in which I'm charging Yishayahu and accusing him of violating crimes. Now, the Gemara over here is not abundantly clear about what the crime is. Let's assume, the Gemara doesn't say this, but let's assume Navi Sheker. Okay? In other words, he's accusing Yeshayahu of being a Navi Sheker. Amar le Moshe Rabcha Amar ki lo yireni Adam v'chai. So, as far as Moshe is concerned, so Moshe in the Torah says that no one can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And meanwhile, v'ata martin, you Yeshayahu, sixth perek of Yeshayahu. Right? This is now where Yeshayahu in the vision of the Maisa Merkava, right? Back in our Chagiga days, we talked about Maisa Merkava, coming out of really two prakim in Tanakh. One is the first parak of Yecheskel, and the second is the sixth parak of Yeshayahu. So over here in the sixth parak of Yeshayahu, when he had a vision, so what did he say? The Ares Hashem Yoshev Akisei Ramanisa. I saw a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wait 1 second. How could you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Moshe says, no one could see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabcha Amar Mi Kashem Lokenu Bechol Kareinu Alav. So Moshe says Bechol Kareinu Alav. Call out to him anytime you want. V'Atamar. I'm sorry. he's not available at any point in time. And meanwhile, you say, eh, he's available at certain times. Well, what does that mean? And Moshe Rab Chamar, and Moshe Rabbeinu says that everyone's got a set amount of time, how much they're here on the earth. Now, how much is that? Undisclosed, meaning we don't know. But in other words, but the amount is set. And Ve'atamar Vosafti Al Yamecha, 15 Shana. And meanwhile, what did you do? You gave my father an extension. My father was supposed to die, and you gave him 15 years extension. What's going on over here? So, Amar Yishayahu Yadana Beidala Mekabel, Ma De'emalei. And Yishayahu says, here's what I know. Whatever defense I give in my defense, he's not going to accept it. Meaning, as far as he's concerned, Menashe is interested in killing me. Period. These charges that he's charging me with, they're just a means in order to kill me. And so right now, if I try to correct him, so all that's going to happen is that now he's going to kill me, and it'll be baseless. So, I'm going to make him amazed if I try to explain to him that all of his charges are no good. So, Amar, shame, Ivla Barza. And so what Yishayahu does is he tries to run away from Menashe. So he says, Shem Hashem, and he goes, hides in a tree. Asula Arza Venasrua. So, Menashe identifies which tree he's hiding in. Please don't ask me for any more details. I'm struggling just with the details that we have so far. So Menashe identifies the tree in which Yishayahu is hiding in, and he starts grinding up the tree. When he gets to where the mouth of Yishayahu is, so that's when Yishayahu dies. Mishem damar uvetoch am tamei svasayim anochi yoshev. Because with the mouth of Yishayahu, he said something that was inappropriate. He says that I'm sitting right now with am tamei, a nation that's impure. So because he says something that could be understood as lashon hara of the Jewish people, so therefore that was this serves as the onus for Yishayahu specifically in his mouth. Okay, where we're going to start tomorrow is Yishuv HaDvarim, meaning basically what Menashe is asking is there are stiras between that which we see in Sefer Yishayahu and that which we find in the Chumash. Those stiras need responses. So when we start tomorrow, we're going to go over how to be Miyashev, the three stiras that Menashe raises. Okay, Adkan, today we concluded our Evi Kanani discussion and our Geiras discussion, right? Memches represents the end of the Geiras Sugya of the Gemara, a lengthy discussion within the Gemara regarding how to be Megayer, both just stam a person who wants to convert, and also an Evi Kanani as well. Then, on Mem Tesamad Aleph, we started with the Mishnah. In terms of what produces a Mamzer, three opinions in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, and Rabbi Yoshua. In the Gemara, there are a total of three versions of Shitas Rabbi Kiva. It's either going to be Lav D'She'er, Stam Alav, or even an Asay Alav Abba Mechlal Asay. Okay, I know I'm doing this quickly, but just a recap. On the Amud Aleph, we gave sources for each one of these positions. On the Amud Beis, notable exceptions, meaning exceptions where, even though these are prohibited unions, nevertheless the child is not a mamzer. Two of them mentioned by Abaye, a third mentioned by Abraisa. The two mentioned by Abaye is Anida, which is an Isser Kares. Still, the child is not going to be a mamzer. Why? Because there is going to be Tfisas Kedushin. A Sota, because there is going to be Tfisas Kedushin. That's a little bit of a stretch in terms of explaining how that's Tfisas Kedushin. You're married to her already. Rashi explains because there's no Hafkaz Kedushin. And finally, the third exception not mentioned by Abaye, but mentioned in the Braisa, is the Shemeres Yavam, where if she has a child outside of her brother-in-law while she's a Shemeres Yavam, the child is not going to be a mamzer. Why didn't Abaye mention that? Because it's a machlokas, and Abaye did not want to dip his toe into that machlokas. And then finally, the end of today's daf, Megillas Yochsen, which cited our Mishnah's information, which is that this particular Megillah follows like Rabbi Yoshua, and then two other pieces of information. And in tomorrow's daf, we're going to go over that third piece of information, that Menashe ends up killing Yishayahu on what is baseless grounds, but Menashe thought that he had a basis for killing Yishayahu.